There's a lot to discuss about in Yoni Eretz Yisrael. Significance of Eretz Yisrael begins from day number one, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. The Baal HaMor and the whole group of Rishonim on Rosh Hashanah Daf Chof HaMideis interpret the Gemara, the very difficult Rashi and Tosfos, they're very strange pshat. So the Baal HaMor and the whole group of Rishonim, the Kuzari and others all explain, the Gemara there is discussing the issue of the international dateline. Where is the international dateline? So the Ummah Sa'ilam picked arbitrarily in the middle of the Pacific Ocean, and the line goes crooked a little bit, so it won't bother anybody. It doesn't cut through a landmass. Is there any source in the Gemara? So the Chazanish wrote a whole essay when the Miri Yeshiva and the other yeshivas, the Litvish yeshivas, were in Polish yeshivas, also were in Japan. So he wrote a whole essay that the dateline is 6 hours to the east of Yerushalayim. The Baal HaMor interprets the Gemara there as follows. The Gemara points out in Kiddushin that when the brothers of Yosef were shuttling back and forth from Eretz Canaan to Eretz Mitzrayim, so when they go down to Eretz Mitzrayim, it says, Vayerdo acha Yosef asor, they called Yordim. They go back to Eretz Mitzrayim, it says, Vayalu. Why is Vayerdo Vayalu? Because Malamich, Eretz Yisrael, Gevoyim, Mikol HaRotzes, Eretz Yisrael is higher up than the other lands. Is that true? The Swiss Alps is higher. There are probably mountains in America that are higher than Eretz Yisrael. So what kind of a statement is that? Then the Gemara learns that from the Pasuk in Parshas Shoftim, Kipolim Mimcha Dovel HaMishpat, Bein Dam LaDam Hedim Adin, Divei Rivis B'Sherech, Rabbi HaMachlokes, that's ripping apart the community. Like this, every rabbi in every community paskens whatever he wants, so you don't have to always go to the Bez Nagol. There's nothing wrong if every group follows their own psak, but if it's within the same community, there's going to be a friction. But then you have to get a psak from the Bez Nagol. There shouldn't be friction. So it says, you should go up to Yerushalayim. Why go up to Yerushalayim? What if he lives in a city that's higher than Yerushalayim? Lamaids, because it teaches them that Yerushalayim is the highest elevation in Eretz Yisrael. It's also not true. The Gemara says that David HaMelech was considering where he's going to build the Beis HaMikdash till the Navi told him he have no permission to build. But originally he was planning to build the Beis HaMikdash in the highest location, which is Ein Itam, which is not in Yerushalayim. So David HaMelech knew that Ein Itam is higher up than Yerushalayim. So how can the Gemara make such a false statement? The both statements are not true. So the Baal HaMor explains, it means when the Rebbeinu Shel Olam created the world, the globe, the whole world, what part of the globe was on top? You can hold the North Pole on top, you can hold the South Pole on top, you can hold New York City on top, you can hold San Francisco on top, you can hold whatever you want on top. So the Gemara says, when the Rebbeinu Shel Olam created the world, Yerushalayim was on top, Eretz Yisrael was on top. That means Gevoyim Mikol HaRotz is day number one. At the beginning, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu pushed the button, and the earth started to twirl on its axis, so what was on top? Eretz is always on top. And the earth is a globe. The Chazal knew it wasn't flat, it's a globe. And a globe has two hemispheres, so you have an upper hemisphere and a lower hemisphere. So if Yerushalayim is on top, so the upper hemisphere goes from 6 hours to the east of Yerushalayim to 6 hours to the west of Yerushalayim, because the whole globe is 24 hours. So since Yerushalayim is on top, so the first place on the globe that it was right here, Vayi Boker, was in Japan, 6 hours to the east of Yerushalayim. So that's what not Japan, was. It cuts through that line, that meridian, cuts through Manchuria, cuts through the tip of Asia, and it cuts through Australia. So then you have a Shaila. So what's the din? On one side of the street it's Erev Shabbos, and the other side is going to be Shabbos. So that's unclear in the Gemara. So that the Rishonim and Achrayim talk about this. Some feel on the right, on the eastern side of the street, it'll be Erev Shabbos. On the western side of the street, where that line goes through, it'll be Shabbos. And they'll just say, no, if it's one landmass, then it has to be the same day of the week. So which part wins? So the Pashtus, he should say, that the Miut is Nigra after the Rov. So if the Miut is Nigra after the Rov, then all of Australia, I think the dateline cuts through Australia, such I think 2/3 of Australia, I think, are to the east of the dateline. 1/3 is to the west of the dateline. So the western part should be Nigra. If the, is it the other way? I forgot already which one it is. No, I think. I think 2/3 of Australia are to the east of the dateline. So then the western part of Australia should be Nigra after the east. But the Chazon Ish thinks like that opinion. The Rishonim say like that. You can't split one landmass in half. It has to be one day of the week for both. But if you have part of a landmass belongs to the upper hemisphere, part the two hemispheres in the globe, part belongs to the, there is a more important hemisphere and a less important hemisphere. The upper hemisphere has Yerushalayim and Eretz Yisrael in it. So the upper hemisphere is more important. So even though 2/3 of Australia are to the east of the dateline, but since the western tip of Australia belongs to the upper hemisphere, which is that part of the globe that has Eretz Yisrael in it, so that wins. So the eastern part is Nigra after the west. Okay. So that's based on all of these ideas. And it's all divine Mekol HaRotzes. From day number one, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, he held Eretz Yisrael on top. And the Baal HaMoor said, that's why the Gemara has a comment that Eretz Yisrael is Tabur HaOretz. Tabur HaOretz means when a person lies down flat on the floor, on his bed, so his belly sticks up a little bit. So Eretz Yisrael sticks up. What do you mean it sticks up? When HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, Eretz Yisrael is on top. That's why it's called Tabur HaOretz. It's protruding on top. The Chazal had a tradition that when Mabul took place, the Gemara says in Perek Chelik, the Mabul did not affect Eretz Yisrael. How could it be the Mabul didn't affect? There's no walls, so what prevented the water from going over there? So the answer is, it's not a kasha. The whole story of the Mabul is a miracle. There isn't, the Chazal believed in the water cycle. So Gemara in the first Perek in Tainus, all the water evaporates, goes up to the clouds, comes down, snow and rain, goes back up, comes down again, goes back up again. Everything goes up. There isn't so much water in the whole wide world that the whole globe, with or without Eretz Yisrael, being flooded. There isn't so much water that the water should go, should be held by gravity, should be held, and it should go 15 amas above the highest mountain. There isn't so much water in the whole world if you believe in the water cycle. So how can it be? So the whole story of the Mabul was a miracle. So this is also part of the miracle that Eretz Yisrael wasn't affected with the Mabul. It was a spiritual, it was designated by HaKadosh Baruch Hu from the very outset as a place for a place of Ruchnius. And at the end of Parshas Noach, the Psukim say that Terach Avi Avram started to take his children to move to Eretz Canaan. Why did he want to move to Eretz Canaan? And some of Farshim say, on Chumash, on the page, and some of Farshim say, because Eretz Canaan was not affected by the Mabul, so the grass was nicer over there. The air was not polluted and the earth was not polluted. It's a better place to live in Gashmias. And other Mepharshim say, no, he was searching a little bit for Ruchnias. And he realized that Eretz Canaan is the place of Ruchnias, Baharaya, that the Mabul didn't affect it. So it must be that the Barishon created the world in such a way. Eretz Yisrael has special milas. But he didn't want to, he didn't go all the way. He started to go to Eretz Canaan, then he changed his mind in the middle and he stayed where he was. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu instructed Avraham Avinu, Lech Lecha Me'aretz Me'Moladetecha, you go to Eretz Yisrael. There are various aspects to Inyan Eretz Yisrael, at least six different aspects that I want to talk about. So that's the first. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, Eretz Yisrael was on top. And that's relevant for the issue of the international day. Then the opening Rashi on Parshas Bereishis quotes a Medrash that the Umas Olam, what do we need Chumash Bereishis for? It doesn't have any mitzvahs. The mitzvah Rishonish and Tzavu by Yisrael is Acherish HaZalachem. That's in the Chumash Mos. What do you need Bereishis for? So Rashi quotes in the Medrash, Kerach Maisim Higi Liyama Losan Slam Nachlos Goyim. Kodesh Baruch Hu wants to explain to the Jewish people what our claim to ownership of Eretz Yisrael is. The Umas Olam will claim Liste Matem. The Palestinians claim, the Arabs claim that we're Gazlonim, that the Jews are European, we don't belong over here, we have no right to take Eretz Yisrael away from the Palestinians. And the Torah writes us Torah writes down, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who created the world. And because he created the world, he owns the whole world. Rashi writes on Chumash, Pasuk has the expression, Kornei Shamayim Ba'aretz. What does it mean, Kornei Shamayim Ba'aretz? So Rashi has two interpretations. One interpretation, Kornei Shekinein, he created the whole world, and by creating the world, he acquired ownership of the world. So the Baruch Shalom owns the whole world. And then because he owns the whole world, he has the right to give it to whomever he wants. So he gave it to Avraham Avinu, and he told him, Kum Hisalach Baratz Lo'ok Al-Aroch Bo'kinecho Etunena. And the Gemara has a question, what does that mean? Well, the B'nai Slavchat came in the end of Chumash Bamidba, B'nai Slavchat came and they wanted to get a Yerusha. So what exactly was the Shaila? So Poshib Shat in the Chumash, the Shaila was, whether women get Yerusha or only men. So the Gemara in Yesh Nechon quotes one Tana, who was a Talmud of Reb Meir. He had a different shot in the parasha. Everybody knew that the women get the Yerusha. Shaila was that Tzlofchad ben Chayfa was a Bchor to his father. The Bchor is entitled to Pishnayim. But the Bchor only gets Pishnayim. B'chol Hashem Motzilo. Whatever property the father has, only B'muchzot, not B'roy. Whatever property the father owns at the time of death. If the father, let's say, bought a lottery ticket, and the drawing for the lottery took place after the father died, and turns out that he won $1 million, so the Bchor doesn't get Pishnayim on that. That's called Ra'ui. Ein HaBchor Netel B'roi Kimah Muchzot, based on the Pasuk, it says, B'chol HaShem Yimotzeh, but the Motzeh will not be Ra'ui. So the B'nai Tzlofchad had a Shaila. They know that the father gets Pishnayim, and the people were traveling in the Midbar, so they had suitcases. They had business Mitzrayim, they had business Hayam, they knocked on the next door neighbor's doors on Erev Pesach, and the Esther place, Zod, the Chesed, the smallest, they had some garden. They didn't have too much in the suitcases though. Then business Hayam, everybody took a little bit. So they had the business, they had their own suitcase, they had a little bit. It wasn't, didn't add up to too much. But the Shaila was, what about the big money, the real estate in Eretz Yisrael? So did Avraham Avinu own, did he have ownership of Eretz Yisrael already? When HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, was that a promise that was going to be fulfilled in the distant future when the Jewish people will conquer Eretz Yisrael, then they will acquire ownership of Eretz Yisrael? Or does it mean by walking around the borders you will acquire ownership right now? But that constituted the Kinyan Chazaka. So that was the Shaila that B'nai Slavchad asked. Was our father entitled to get Slavchad ben Chayfer? Was the Bchor to Chayfer? Is he entitled to Pishnayim and the Chelek and Eretz Yisrael was worth, which is worth a fortune of money? Or is he only entitled to Pishnayim and what was in the suitcases, which are much less valuable? Where did this Tana, the student of Rav Meir, where did he get this wild shot in the Pasuk? Because it says, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu responds, Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know the answer. He asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Noson titein lehem achuzas nachalot. Why does it say Noson titein? Noson titein means that they are entitled to Pishnayim. So what was the answer? That Eretz Yisrael Machzakas Himeyavisein and Mois Avraham Avinu. Eretz Yisrael belonged to the Jewish people from the days of Avraham Avinu. The Gemara explains Moshe Rabbeinu had given a nevuah before Yitzias Mitzrayim. It says he bitzal to the galti belakachti veheidesi eschama ha'aretz v'nasati oselachem mo rasha ani Hashem. So when he said the nevuah before Yitzias Mitzrayim, the Nosalach was later after Yitzias Mitzrayim. When he said the nevuah mo rasha, what did he think that it meant? Does Barasha mean a Yerusha? Or does it mean something else? So the Gemara said, Moshe Rabbeinu said the Nevuah word for word. Whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, he said word for word. But he himself didn't know whether Barasha means the same as Yerusha, or Barasha means something else. Maybe it's not Yerusha. He may have a saying in Moshe Avraham Avinu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu responded, yes, Eretz Yisrael belongs to the Jewish people from the days that Avraham Avinu made the Kinyan. There's one Tana there in Perek Beiskur, I think, and it's the end of Balabasa. Usually in the yeshivas, they skip that part of Balabasa. The Balabata learned daf yad, they learn every daf. Yeshivas usually, they don't do that daf. So the Gemara has a machlekes. One Tana is of the opinion that Kenyan applies bisman hazeh also. If I want to sell you a vineyard, and I tell you, walk around the borders and you will acquire ownership of the vineyard with the Kenyan chazokah, the one Tana holds that's a din l'dayrus. We don't accept that opinion. We pass that there was only a chazakah and a hayruah shor for Avraham Avinu. But the Doris, there is no such thing. Rabbi Soloveitchik used to say, and that Rashi says, the Geulah Mesayim will claim listem atem, so we will respond and say, HaKadosh Baruch is the one who created the world and it belongs to him, he has a right. He gave it to the Geulah Mesayim temporarily and then he gave it to us. So he always used to, when he would mention that Rashi, he said, I think I just read that yesterday in the New York Times. Listem atem. The United Nations, we keep on saying, the Jews are Gazlanim. They come from Europe. They're not from the Middle East. They have no right to Eretz Yisrael. Abba Ibn used to be the representative from the Deen Sisrael. He used to speak, he always used to open up a Tanakh and read the Pesuk in the Tanakh. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Eretz Yisrael to the Jewish people. But Rashi is telling you something more than that. Not only gave us Eretz Yisrael. He's saying the dominant. We say in the davening that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Eretz Yisrael the bris olam. He gave Eretz Yisrael to Avraham Avinu, he made a kinyan. Then he made a bris with Avraham Avinu. They will go to his descendants. They made a bris with Yitzchak. He made a bris with Yaakov. Why was it necessary to make a bris? If I come to your wedding and I forgot to bring a wedding gift, so I say, I'll see you at the Sheva Brochas, I'll bring the gift. Then I come to the Sheva Brochas, I apologize again, I forgot. I'll bring you the gift in the future. Then I come, they invite me to come to the bris 9 months later, and I say, I forgot again to bring the gift. I keep my promises. But here, the Rebbeinu Shlomo already gave Eretz Yisrael to Avraham Avinu. So why does he have to promise? Why does he have to make a bris? Promise that he's going to give Eretz Yisrael. So the Chazon Ish explains, and the Sefer on Shviyos, Rav Soloveitchik said exactly the same word for word. The bris was that Eretz Yisrael belongs to the Jewish people. He quotes the Ramban al HaTorah. The Rambar of HaTorah writes, whenever there's a bris that's equivalent to a shvuah, and a shvuah means al kolponim, under all circumstances, no exceptions to the rules. So it means that it all belongs to the Jewish people absolutely throughout all the generations, and it's not subject to the international halacha of kibush mochamet. The Gemara has a whole sugi in Gittin, daf lamed ches. There's a din of kibush mochamet, they write from sugi mochamish and a novi, and whenever one country, whenever two countries have a Muhammad, so the country that wins the war acquires ownership of all of the property. Even if they wage the war, the Isser. Russia, a lot of times, wages war, the Isser, and they take over a lot of countries like that. So the halacha said, even though they're Gazlanim, even though they stole the character from the country that wins the war acquires ownership. So we lost our ownership, we should have lost our ownership there in Israel, and the Babylonian armies conquered Eretz Israel. And then, at the end of the Baisheni period, the Roman army conquered Eretz Yisrael, so the Jewish people should have lost their ownership. So that's what the Chazon Ish explained. No, the bris was a bris olam. Eretz Yisrael is not subject to the Kibush Muhammad. We never lost our ownership throughout all the years. During the 7 years of Golden Bubble, Eretz Yisrael belonged to the Jewish people. And after the Churban Baisheni, it still belonged to the Jewish people. They never lost our ownership. So Rebbeinu used to say every so often, we do not owe a debt of gratitude to the British for giving us Eretz Yisrael. It never belonged to them in the first place. Always belonged to the Jewish people. We never lost our ownership over Eretz Yisrael. There's a famous Rambam, Hilchos Beis HaBchira. The Rambam explains why Kedusha Bishayna was loy kitchel asilavai, and Kedusha Shnei was kitchel asilavai. The Gemara talks about Kedusha Rishayna and Kedusha Shnei. They were on the Kaddish Eretzot two times around. So Tosfos and Yevam is that Pei Beis, I think, quotes Rabbeinu Chananel. What is Kedusha Rishayna? Kedusha Rishayna is in the days of Avraham Avinu. And Kedusha Shnei was in the days of Yishuv Dinu. So Tosfos says they don't know what he's talking about. They don't understand that Rabbeinu Chananel at all. It's not correct. Kedusha Rishayna was not in the days of Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu walked on around the borders. That constituted the Kinyan Chazaka, but that was not the Kaddish of Eretz Yisrael. The Kaddish of Eretz Yisrael, Kedusha Rishayna, the first time around, was the Kibush V'chiluk. The Kibush Ha'aretz, it took the Pesukim saying, Sefer Yeshua, took 7 years to conquer all of Eretz Yisrael. Then the Gemara says, in the end of Erechim, we have an oral tradition that it took another 7 years to divide Eretz Yisrael. They had it first divided the Shvatim, then the Mishpachas, and then the Yechidim. Why it took 7 years is a good question. Must have had a lot of lawyers. Lawyers get paid by the Yahweh, so they waste a lot of time. It's a pella. Why did it take 7 years? So the Gemara says it took 14 years. Why do you need the Chalukah? The Chalukah is the Gemara of the Kibush. The Kibush was the Mekadosh of Eretz Yisrael. And the Gemara of the Kibush was the Chalukah. So Eretz Yisrael didn't have the Kedusha with respect to the mitzvahs, Halkiyas, Baritz, Trumas, and Maisish. Lekha Chikropeya began year 15, was the first time. In the first 14 years after they crossed over the Yarden, the mitzvahs did not apply. The first Shemitah was year 21, because the first 14 years there was no Kedusha Sa'aretz. So the first Shemitah was, and the first Yovel was year 64, because the first 14 years didn't count. So they started counting from Shemitah to Yovel after the 14 years were up. So the Rambam explained that then there was a Shaila, a Diyun, and the Gemara, but the Kedusha B'Shaina Be'eretz Yisrael that was accomplished in the days of Yishuv Beno, in the Kibush B'Chilek, was that Kitchel Asi Lava, Eretz Yisrael still has Kedusha from the days of Yishuv Beno, or should be assumed that it's Lo Kitchel Asi Lava. So the final maskana, Halacha Maisa, is we assume Lo Kitchel Asi Lava. At the time, according by Srishain, the Kedusha Sa'aretz was Batla. So the Rambam gives you an explanation why, because the Kedusha Sa'aretz rested on the Kibush. So when the Babylonian armies conquered Eretz Yisrael, they undid the Kibush. It's like yanking out the rug from underneath. So the Kedusha falls apart. But the Kedusha Shniyah, after the 7 years of Golus Babel, so Ezra and Nehemiah, they brought the Jews back to Eretz Yisrael. They had to be Mekadosh Eretz Yisrael all over again. But there was no Kibush the second time around. There were Tachas Shilton Ha'umas. There was a Goyish government until several centuries later, until the Hashmonaim. Until the Hashmonaim, there was no independent Jewish government in Eretz Yisrael. So there was no Kibush. But the Mekadosh of Eretz Yisrael is right away, on the first day. So what was the Mekadosh? There was no Kibush originally. So the Rambam says Chazaka. It's not Kibush Chazaka. So that's the question, what does the word Chazaka mean? So Rabbi Zalman, in his Sefer on the Rambam, Evan also assumes that means a Kinyan Chazaka. He's assuming that the Jews lost their ownership of Eretz Yisrael during the 70 years of Golus Babel. And when they came back, they made a Kinyan Chazaka. Like Avraham Avinu was kind of whom Salv Varas, Lachla, Rachla, Kuduchay Tenena, walking around was a Chazaka, so the second time around was a Chazaka. So many years ago, after the Sinai campaign, you people weren't born yet, Rabbi Gorin at that time was not yet the chief rabbi, he was only the chief chaplain in the army. So he visited America, and he spoke in different locations, so he came to the yeshiva, he spoke. He was a very entertaining speaker, very, very entertaining speaker. So he gave his shiur in Rabbi Soloveitchik's class. Rabbi Soloveitchik was learning, that was the first year I was in Rabbi Soloveitchik's class. And he gave his shiur, he heard that we're learning Sanhedrin, so he gave his shiur on the first Mishnah in Sanhedrin. He said in Eretz Israel, they don't learn so quickly, they learn very slowly, so he's still on the first Mishnah. That was his joke, part of his joke. So he was assuming in his shiur that like Rabbi Zalman, that Chazaka means, the Kinyan Chazaka, that the Jews lost their ownership of Eretz Israel during the 7 years of Golus Babel. So Rabbi Soloveitchik was sitting in the back of the classroom and listening to the shiur. So he started to disagree with him and he said, there is no such thing. The Jews never lost the ownership of Eretz Yisrael. You're not allowed to say that. So he kept on insisting that it was. That's what the Rama means by the word Chazokin. So the next day when Rabbi Gorin was not there, so when Rabbi Soloveitchik started his shiur, the next day he said, the Gemara says, Kamokim sheish chil Hashem in chokin kovel erat. Chil Hashem doesn't mean Chil Hashem. It means when a Rebbe makes a mistake, you have to correct it. So he said, what Rabbi Gorin said yesterday is not correct. The Jewish people never lost the ownership of Eretz Yisrael. That's what the Chazon Ish writes also. That's why the Rebbe Shlom made a shvuah, he made a bris. The bris means Akol Panim, that Eretz Yisrael was never subject to the international din of Kibush Muhammad. So we never lost our ownership of Eretz Yisrael. The Yechidim didn't have a bris. The Yechidim maybe lost their private ownership of the different houses and fields that they had. But the Klal Yisrael has a bris and a shvuah, so Klal Yisrael never lost their ownership of Eretz Yisrael. So that's the ownership of Eretz Yisrael. The ownership of Eretz Yisrael is from the days of Avraham Avinu. He made a Kinyan Chazak, Eretz Yisrael Mechazak Avisenu, and Mois Avraham Avinu. I remember Rabbi Gori when he spoke, he had with him a Talmud Yerushalmi inside in a pocket edition. He had it in his pocket. So he's a very dramatic speaker, very entertaining. So he pulls it out from his pocket. He says, Asher Misha Bolakar Ma Talmud Abi Yoda. So he's speaking Hebrew. He says, I came from Yerushalayim and I brought my Talmud Yerushalmi with me. Talmud Abi Yoda. He starts reading from Yerushalmi. He says it in the Babli also. And so he wanted to quote a line from Yerushalmi. He's very entertaining. So the ownership of Eretz Yisrael was made by Avraham Avinu, and that's why the Bnei Tzlopcha were entitled to get an extra share in Eretz Yisrael, because their father Tzlopcha Menchefa was a Bchor, And not only was he entitled to pi shnayim in what the Jews had in their suitcase, that was muchzor, even the chelek and Eretz Yisrael already belonged to Avraham Avinu, went birusha to Yitzchak, to Yaakov. So why did Moshe Rabbeinu Taki say Mor Rasha? That's the question. Why didn't he say Yerusha? Why did Moshe Rabbeinu Taki say Mor Rasha? We usually assume that Yerusha means an inheritance, and Mor Rasha means a heritage. An inheritance means, let's say, my rich uncle died, and he leaves me $5,000. So I can do whatever I want with the $5,000. I can burn the money, I can put it in the bank, I can invest it, I can... Rabbi Jerebi used to give out dollar bills to give to people, to give to stuff. He can do whatever he wants with the money. That's an inheritance. But a heritage means I got something in Yerusha, and it's understood that it's my responsibility to transmit it to the next generation. It should be preserved for the future. So the word Marasha only appears in Chumash twice. Torah Tzivalana Moshe Marasha Kilas Yaakov. The Torah is a Marasha. We got it, Yerusha. We have to see to it that we have an obligation to transmit it in its entirety to the next generation. And Eretz Yisrael is a Marasha. We are not the Balabatim over Eretz Yisrael to give it away to the Umas Olam. We have to see to it that we transmit everything that we have to the next generation. We were just talking before, in 1937, the Aguda had a Knesia Hagadoyla in Europe. So they were discussing the partition plan. There was a discussion in the League of Nations. It was the early version of the United Nations. So there was a discussion whether they should divide Palestine after the Jews and after the Arabs. So there was a big machlokes. At that, can you see it? All of the drushes were written up and they're printed. So there was a big machlokes. Some of the rabbanim said we're not permitted to agree to the partition plan, because if you agree, it means that we're signing on the dotted line. We're giving away half of Eretz Yisrael to the Arabs. We're not allowed to give away anything to the Arabs. Most of the rabbis said, who's giving away? We don't have anything yet. The British have everything. We're signing, we're accepting the half that you're giving us. And we'll take the next half later. And the others held no. Your signing means that you're agreeing to the fact that they want to give half. That was the machlekes they were discussing. The Mumkache, the Mincha Saluza, was still alive at that time. He died before the Second World War. So the Mincha Saluza was alive. He boycotted the Knesset HaGdolah. Because he was opposed to the whole Zionist movement, Bichlal. He said because of the Shavu Shavuos, that you have to wait till Mashiach comes. And he knew they wouldn't even give him the platform to speak. So he didn't go to the conference at all. But all the Gedolim, there were big Gedolim, Rabbi Chaim Oiz and many others, just like Rabbi Shulman spoke before. All the big Gedolim that we have a Shaychus with, they didn't see what was wrong with the Zionist movement. They just, a lot of them didn't want to have religious people go with the anti-religious Zionists because they would have a negative effect on them. The crime was opposed to the Zionist movement because the religious Jews would fall in with the non-observant Jews. But it wasn't opposed to Zionism per se. So again, Eretz Yisrael was endowed with Kedusha Rishayna. Kedusha Rishayna was not in the days of Avraham Avinu, but rather, Tosfos disagrees with that, Rabbeinu Hanano, but rather Kedusha Rishayna was in the days of Yeshua ben Nun. And because it was a Kibush v'chiluk, Halukha means the Gemara of the Kibush, so that's why the Rambam explains, that's why when Eretz Yisrael was conquered away from the Jews by the Babylonian armies, so the whole Kedusha Soretz disappeared. But the Rambam says the Kedusha Shniya was not created a'idei Kibush, it was a'idei Chazake. That's the question, what does the word Chazake mean? So this is Zalman learns that it means Kinya Chazak, that we lost our ownership. Now, so Rachel thought absolutely does not mean that. It means something else. So the Rambam says, but because it wasn't based on Kibbutz, so they later, when the Roman armies conquered Eretz Yisrael and the Jewish government, the Kedusha was not lost because it didn't rest on the Kibbutz in the first place. It wasn't undone when the whole country was taken away. The question is, what does it mean, Chazak? It's very unclear. What was the Mikdash of Eretz Yisrael the second time again? Very unclear. So Rav Soloveitchik made one suggestion. Rav Soloveitchik used to have yahrzeit to his father on Gimel Shvat. He used to give a big shiur, 4-hour shiur. People would come from out of town that would come from. They would fly from out of town. They would drive in from Lakewood, from Brooklyn, from all over. And he would give a big shiur, 4-hour shiur, 2 hours halacha and 2 hours agoda, based on the halacha. So one year he was speaking about Tashmishi Kedusha versus Tashmishi Mitzvah, the Gemara Megillah. draws a contrast. If you have an old talis, or you have an old vestment that you can't use anymore, you have an old sukkah, and you bought a new sukkah, what do you do with the old sukkah? The Gemara says, Tashmish and mitzvah and nizrapim. Throw it out in the garbage. It says in the Shulchan Aruch, you shouldn't throw your talis out together with the dirty diapers, with the fish bones and the chicken bones. You should put it in a separate bag and then throw it out in the garbage. Okay, it shouldn't be mevazeh. But Tashmish Gedusha and Nignozim, if you have an old tefillin and mezuzah, and the Torah, even if you have a mental level, even if you have a tefillin's echo, that's Tashmish Gedusha, so you're not allowed to throw it out, even though it's not useful anymore. Tashmish Gedusha are Nignozim, you have to put in Shemus and bury it. How do you define what's a Tashmish Mitzvah, what's a Tashmish Gedusha? Rav Chaim Volozhiner, Nefesh HaChayim, writes, the source of all the Kedusha is Dibrei Torah. So you have to say, Torah, Tefillin, and Mezuzah, have Psukim written, the Luchas, have Psukim written, and Seiris HaDibris, but that's Tashmishi Kedusha. Then it's also very mashman the Ramam, to the extent that you have Psukim written, to that extent, that you have Kedusha. So the Mezuzah only has Shema V'Yayim Shemoy, the Tefillin have Kadesh V'Yayim Kebiach in addition. So the Tefillin have a slightly higher level of Kedusha than the Mezuzah. Shal Rosh, in addition to the Dalet Parshas, has two shins on the outside. So the Shal Rosh has slightly more Kedusha than the Shal Yad. And the Gemara explains, the Gemara says, based on that, that there's a din of Malam HaKodesh V'lo Maridi. You're permitted to convert a Shal Yad into a Shal Rosh. That's Malam HaKodesh, but you're not permitted to convert a Shal Rosh into a Shal Yad. That would be a violation of Maridi. And then the Sefer Torah has everything written, has all the Parshas plus more. So Rachid pointed out, there's a Rambam towards the end of Hilchos Sefer Torah where the Rambam sounds very much that he's saying that when we'll find the original Luchas, the author's copy, the Rabban Shalom engraved the Luchas himself. I will write on the Luchas. So if we'll find the Luchas, it only has our Seiris HaDibris written on it. And we have a Sefer Torah that's written by a Basav Adam, which has Tavshin Pei Aleph. So the Sefer Torah has a higher level of Kedusha than the Luchas. The Luchas will be priceless. There's no other copy of the Luchas. That's about this copy engraved by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But speaking on the level of Kedusha, so the Rambam is very mashma that he says that. Sefer Torah has the Seiris HaDibris plus one, so the Sefer Torah has a higher level of Kedusha. So Rav Soloveitchik is talking about this, Rav Chaim Volozhiner, as he said, that all the Yoni Kedusha have to be rooted in Kisra Kodesh and Divrei Torah. So he wanted to know where's the Kedusha Tzitzrol come from? So he said, the Malach teaches the baby Kol HaTorah Kula before the baby is born, the men and the women. So that's the source of the Kedusha Tzitzrol. What about Kedusha based on Mikdash? So he said, the center of the Kedusha based on Mikdash is the Kodesh Kadosh, and we have the Luchas. So that's why this Kedusha is based on it. What about Bayi Sheni? There was no Luchas in the Bayi Sheni. So the Rambam, the Gemara in Yuma has a Machloikas Hatanayim, a historical Machloikas. Where were the Luchas during the Bayi Sheni? The Rambam in the Mishnah Torah takes a stand on the historical Machloikas. And he says, Yoshiyah, it says in Dibrayom, Yoshiyah Melech was towards the end of the Bayi Sevishin period. He was going as the Luchas in the basement towards the end of the Bayi Sevishin period. So that we know, that says in Dibrayom. So the Machlekes HaTanaim was, where were the Luchas during Bayi Sheni? So the Rambam adapts that opinion in the Mishnah Torah that the Luchas were still in the basement during the whole Bayi Sheni period. So Rav Soloveitchik asks, what is the Rambam taking a stand on a historical Machlekes? In the Mara Devuchim, okay, somewhere else, but not in the Mishnah Torah. So he said, apparently the Rambam understood that it's not only a historical Machlekes, maybe it's a halachic Machlekes. Is it conceivable to have a Kedushas based on Mikdash without Luchas? And the Rambam is taking a stand that it's not. The Kedusha of the Beis HaMikdash has to emanate from the fact that you have Torah Shebichsav there, that you have the Luchas. It must be that just like the last years of the Bayis Rishon, Luchas were in the room in the basement. That was, Rambam quotes, in the original plan, Dovid HaMelech was given by the Navi Megillah B'Ksav. They had the whole layout of the Beis HaMikdash, and he transmitted that HaKol B'Ksav Me'ar Hashem Alai Haskil. He gave over that Megillah B'Ksav to Sam Shlom HaMelech. Sam HaMelech built everything according to the blueprint. So in the blueprint, the Rambam writes in Luchas, basically the blueprint, it was required that there should be a chamber in the basement to put the Luchas when the time comes. So Yosha HaMelech decided it's time. So he put it in the basement. That's another story. Why did Yosha HaMelech The Netziv in the Hagadamita, the Shultas, talks about that. Why did Yosha Melech decide that it's time to put the Luchas in the basement?
In the whole Mishnah Torah, it looks like the Rambam doesn't paskin Hakol Betzav. He even has this idea that there are certain parts of the Mikdash that are Me'akev, which seems to go against the Gemara. Whenever it says Hakol Betzav, it's always Afilu Yavid Gishbeish is Aser, Afilu Yavid, Afilu Lachasos, Esadam Be'afar is Aser.
Yeah.
So then how can that be used as a riot? The Rambam seems to not paskin it.
Okay, a good point. I don't know. To look into it sounds like a good question. I don't know. So Rav Soloveitchik thought that the Kedushas HaMikdash, if you should assume like a Chaim Elozhe, it must be because you have Luchas there. What about Kedushas Beis HaKnesses? So he showed there seems to be a Rambam in Hilchos Tefillah seems to hold that if you have a shul that doesn't have a Sefer Torah, it doesn't have a Kedushas Beis HaKnesses. The Ramban holds that Kedushas Beis HaKnesses is because it's really Tashmishei Mitzvah, not Tashmishei Kedusha. The Beis HaKnesses is a location that enables us to daven better. So it's a tashmishei mitzvah, like a lulav, like a shofar, like a sukkah, like a talus. But the Ran disagrees with the Ramban, and the Ran thinks that it's a mikdash meyat, right? Lehem the mikdash meyat. So from the Rambam is also mashma like that, that it only has a kedusha. Beis HaKnesses, if it has a sefer Torah somewhere in the building, it doesn't necessarily have to be in that room where they daven. It has to be days of the Gemara. The sefer Torah used to be somewhere in a different room. So how do you understand the kedushas haaretz? What, there are psukim written on the trees? Well, how is there kedushas haaretz? So Leitchik was explaining that the kaddish of Eretz Yisrael the first time around was the kibush v'chiluv. So he screamed out to the audience, "Who made the kibush?" Everybody said, "Yishuv Ben Nun's army." They said, "No, what are you talking about? The Aron Abris. It says in Yeshua, Aron Abris Halech Lifnayim. The Aron Abris knocked down the enemy." So the Kedusha Saretz was based on the Torah Shebichsav and the Aron Abris. But then we assumed that Kedusha Bishonim was Batla at the time of Churban Bayis Rishon. There was a whole Churban HaMedina, the whole Kibush was undone. So the Kedusha Shnei was Aydei Chazake. So what's Aydei Chazake? What in the world is that? So Rechi wasn't sure what the Rambam meant with the word chazakah. He gave different occasions. He was guessing, giving different suggestions. On one occasion he said, maybe it's not what the Rambam said, he said, maybe it means the following, that the Gemara says, kima v'kiblu, on the occasion of Nes Purim, kima mashikiblu kvar. They accepted the Torah again. On the occasion of Maimon HaSinai was kaf aleim har kigigas. And on the occasion of Nes Purim, they accepted it beratzim. Why was the Kavaleim Arkigigas? Taisi asked the Kasha. They said, Nasa and Ishma. Why did the Muslim have to be called for them? So Taisi gives an answer. Taisi in Shabbos, I think, that Peches. So the Mefarshim quote, look in the Medrash Tanchuma, Parshas Noach, where the Medrash has a whole Arichas on that Kasha. The Medrash says, when they said Nasa and Ishma, they meant they're willing to accept the Torah Shebichsav. Torah Shebichsav doesn't seem to be so difficult. Shabbos Kasha with Taras HaMashbracha doesn't seem to be so complicated. But then when you get to the Mishnah Brura, and you get to the Chazanish, and you get to the Achrayim, everything is so complicated, everything is so difficult. Kosher, so the Medrash uses the Losh, Medrash Tanchum and Paitan. Kosher, Kishol, Kino, Yishafer, Rishveyesh, Alhevis, Yor. Torah Shebalpeh is difficult to learn, and it's difficult to observe, and everything is very complicated. So that was Kofaleim HaKigigis. They didn't want to accept Torah Shebalpeh. Then on the occasion of Nes Purim, they accepted Beratz and the Torah Shabbat. So Leitchik said, maybe the Mekadosh of Eretz Yisrael the second time around was the Kabbalah of Torah Shabbat. Because according to the tradition of the Gemara, the Nes Purim occurred toward the end of the 7 years of Golus Bavel, a year or two before the Golus Bavel was over. So that was his suggestion. Maybe the Mekadosh of Eretz Yisrael the second time around was not a text of the Torah Shabbat, but rather the Kabbalah of the Torah Shabbat, and maybe that can explain why the Kedusha Bishayna was Batla, the Kedusha Shniyah was not Batla. Torah Shabbat belongs to the world of ideas. You can't destroy it. Torah Shabbat is a tangible thing. You can destroy the Torah Shabbat. So Avichik quoted a kasha that the Darshanim had. The Gemara has a din, it's a din in Yeridei, in Hilchos Kriya. It says, Araya Sefer Torah Shanisraf, if somebody burns the Sefer Torah, so the Gemara says you have to read twice Kriya, and you'll be got it. Once for the Oisias, and once for the Klaf, once for the Gvil. for the parchment. So you see that when you burn, when someone burns a Sefer Torah, when a Jew burns a Sefer Torah, the Gemara says, he destroys the Oseus and he destroys the parchment as well. And then there's a Gemara in the first parak on Avodah Zarah, I think the first parak, where the Gemara says when they killed Rav Hanina ben Tradyan, so they burned him alive. So they wrapped him in a Sefer Torah and they lit the fire. And he was looking at something, and Tamidim asked him, what are you looking at? They didn't see anything. So he says, he sees Gvilin Disraf and Baosyas Parchas Bavir. He says, the guy wrapped him in the parchment of the Sefer Torah. He sees the parchment is catching flame and it's burning. But he sees the Oseus and the Sefer Torah, Parchas Bavir. They didn't succeed in burning the Oseus. Isn't it a contradiction between the two Gemaras? One Gemara says you have to rip Kriya twice, once al Aksab and once al Agvil, on the parchment and on the Aksab. The other Gemara says that they didn't succeed in destroying the Oseus. There is a Parchas Bavir. So Rav Soloveitchik said, oh, the Sam Darshanim say it depends who's destroying it. If the Goyim are destroying it, the Goyim will not succeed in destroying the Ksav. But if a Jew, the one who wrote Sefer Torah and Nisraf, if a Jew, Tosfos says, Kemaisu Shoyah, that a Jew is burning Sefer Torah. So when a Jew is making a Churban HaTorah, he can succeed in destroying not only the parchment, destroying the Ksav also. But Ba'od Yishlam, it could be that there's a different difference between the two. It could be Haraya Sefer Torah Shenisraf, that's Torah Shebichsav. So Torah Shebichsav is a tangible item. So it lends itself to destruction. You burn it, so the whole thing will be destroyed. Bichsav with Tegvil. But when they wrapped the Arma Chanina Ben Tradya in the parchment of the Sefer Torah, it wasn't Sefer Torah. But he was Yoshe B'Dorish, he was giving a shir. He was giving a shir Torah Shebal Peh. But maybe the Oseus Parchas Bavir doesn't refer to the Oseus on the Sefer Torah. So if the Torah was burned with the Oseus, maybe it means the Oseus of Torah Shebal Peh don't lend themselves to destruction, because Torah Shebal Peh belongs to the world of ideas, not a tangible object that should lend itself to the Churban. So maybe that's exactly the difference between the Kedusha Rishayna and Kedusha Shniyah. If the Kedusha Rishayna was accomplished all day, the Orad Abris Ha'ilach Lutneyem, the Orad Abris was Torah Shebichsav. So just like Torah Shebichsav is a tangible item and lends itself to destruction, the Kedusha Rishayna on Eretz Yisrael lent itself to destruction. So when there was Churban HaMedina accomplished by the Babylonian armies, so that was the end of the Kedusha Sar. But perhaps the Kedusha Shniyah was brought about by Yidei Kabbalah's Torah Shebal Peh. Torah Shebal Peh belongs to the world of ideas, doesn't lend itself to destruction, not a tangible object. So maybe that's why the Kedusha Shniyah was Kitcha Lo Silo. But this is the Kedusha Sar. Then Rav Soloveitchik pointed out there's a Mishnah in Kelim that says Eser Kedusha Saint, there are 10 levels of Kedusha Eretz Yisrael Mekudeshes and Kol HaRot says Shenevi Memenu Oymer Eshter Lechem, the Oymer Eshter Lechem has to have grown in Eretz Yisrael. Ayoris HaMekot Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael have a higher level of Kedusha, that the Mitzrayim are not allowed to enter, and then Yerushalayim has a higher level of Kedusha, you can eat Mais and Sheni and Kachin Kalim, Arabai says a higher level of Kedusha, and so on to the end of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. But the Mishnah says Eser Kedusha. You count them up, it's really 11, but the Mishnah says 10 levels of Kedusha. So the Mefarshim ask on the Mishnah, why did the Mishnah quote these two obscure dinim that people never heard of? It's some Kodeshim, because HaRotzah Shemavim Emena HaOymer HaShter Lechem. The barley for the Oymer and the wheat for the Shter Lechem has to have grown in Eretz Yisrael. Whoever heard of those dinim, why don't you say Eretz HaMekodeshim Kol HaRotzah, Yechai Ben Shubas HaMaisis, Lekat Shik Chepeh, Shmita Liyoivo, Peret Onolos, there's so many dinim. But they quote these two dinim that nobody ever heard of. So Rav Soloveitchik developed the whole idea. Rav Menachem Zembe has this. Menachem Zembe wrote a whole kuntris on the Eser Kedushas. There are slight discrepancies between the way it appears in the Sifri Zuta. It's the first Sifri Zuta in Parshas Nosa and Shiloh Tmei Min HaMachne, and the way it appears in the Mishnah. So he wrote a whole kuntris, almost 100 pages long, on the slight discrepancy. So part of the kuntris is this. The Mishnah means to say Eretz Yisrael has a lower level of Kedushas HaMikdash. The main part of the 10 levels in Kedushas HaMikdash, the central level of Kedushas HaMikdash, is in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Then you have the Heichal in front of it. Then you have the Ulam in front of that. Then you have Beit Ulam al Mizbeach. Then you have the Ezra's Kohanim. Then you have the Ezra's Yisrael. Then you have the Harabayis. In the Torah, the whole Harabayis is one of the Rabbanim. They divide the Harabayis into three parts. So the Mishnah is listing off Ezra's Kedushas. There are 10 levels of Kedushas HaMikdash. The lowest level of Kedushas HaMikdash is all of Eretz Yisrael. But the Mishnah is not going to say Eretz Yisrael Kodesh is Bikol HaRotzah, the Yechayiv and Shumas and Maisah, Lekhid Shikampay and Shmita Liyot. No, that's Kedushas HaAretz. The Mishnah wants to prove that all of Eretz Yisrael has a low, the lowest level of Kedushas HaMikdash. Where do you have a din? You see from Shumas and Maisah, Shmita Liyot, etc. It has Kedushas HaAretz. Where do you see it has Kedushas HaMikdash? Because the Oymer Shtei Lechem has to have grown in the Beis HaMikdash. So you're not going to plant in the Beis HaMikdash. So the Gemara learns that from Sukkim. All of Eretz Yisrael has a lower level of Kedushas HaMikdash. That's the Rav Soloveitchik explained. Shlomo HaMelech, when he built the first Beis HaMikdash, offered a beautiful tefillah that appears both in Sefer Melachim and Sefer Divrei Hayamim. Also with slight discrepancies. So in the tefillah he says, everyone should daven facing his father Allah derech habayis hazeh. Everyone should come to the Beis HaMikdash. Ki beis beis tefillah yikar l'chol amin. And all the Yeshaya says, everyone should come daven in the Beis HaMikdash. If you can't come to daven in the Beis HaMikdash, you should face the Beis HaMikdash. Derech habayis hazeh. Then he says, derech u'ir hazeh. So you should face Yerushalayim. Then he says, his father Allah derech ha'artzeh. You should face Eretz Yisrael. So the Mar says, and brachos, which is it? The Mar says, it depends. If you live in Chutz La'aretz and you're davening, you just have to face Eretz Yisrael. If you're davening somewhere in Eretz Yisrael, you should face Yerushalayim. You don't have to necessarily face the Mokam HaMikdash, face Yerushalayim. If you're in Yerushalayim and you're davening, then you're supposed to face the Mokam HaMikdash. So why should you just face Eretz Yisrael? Because all of Eretz Yisrael has a lower level of Kedushas HaMikdash. Also, the Gemara has the comment at the end of the Ksuvah, the Gemara has a comment on the Pasuk, the concluding Pasuk, Shiras Hazina, the keeper at Masai Amoy. Moshe Pshat, Rashi writes on Chumash, the Moshe Pshat, and the Pasuk is that there'll be a show up, and the people will be asking, where was God when all of this was happening? That's what everybody was asking. Where was God when all of this was happening? And it says the Shoah will end, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be the keeper at Masai Amoy, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be Mephias's nation, and he will be Mephias, his land. So Mephias, his land, after the Shoah was over, that's when Eretz Yisrael, that they established the Medina, and things grow, it's unbelievable, everything grows. And the Chippur Amoy, one third of the world Jewish population was killed by the Nazis. Now they say 6 million Jews. When I was a little baby, I was born in the middle of the war, when I was a little baby they said 9 million Jews. Said 6 million people that the Nazis kept records of, they had numbers and names and addresses. Then they killed another 3 million people. So way more than 6 million people were killed. Many more than 6 million people. So at least one third of the world Jewish population was killed. And now we're back, they wrote in Israeli newspapers just a month ago, a couple of months ago, that the world Jewish population is back to what it was in the 1920s. That was the peak. Back to many millions of Jews all over the world. So that's the Pashiv Shadichipa. Ad Masam Adichipa means HaKadosh Baruch Hu will appease his nation and he will appease his land. And then the Gemara has an additional level of interpretation. Adichipa means to forgive Adelus, a Kapara, the Chilas Avodas. How do you translate the Pasuk? Adichipa Ad Masai Amai. A person who lives in Eretz Yisrael gets a Mechilas Avodas. Chaladar Eretz Yisrael, Avanoisav Nimchavim. Yeshua writes on that Gemara, provided that he does tshuva. Yom Kippur is on with Machlokes HaTanah. We pass Yom Kippur is on in Mechaper if he do tshuva. And the Mishnah says in Sanhedrin by the Chayv and Mrs. Bezdin, the Temisos the Kapar Kol Avanesa, the one who's given Mrs. Bezdin, we tell him say vidui. If you don't say vidui, the Misa won't be a Kapar. When a person gets Malkus, so he gets a Mechilos Avanes if he does tshuva when they're giving him the Malkus. Whenever there's a kapor, when you Rambam writes, when you bring a korban, chapa so an oshim, it's mechapa if you do tshuva. If you don't do tshuva, you don't get a kapor. But the same is true. One who walks in Eretz Yisrael, but the Gemara says one is buried in Eretz Yisrael also gets a mechilas avodas. The Gemara says, ein edayma lekaltos lachamisa lekaltos mechayim. If a person lives in Eretz Yisrael while he's alive, That's a deeper degree of Mechilas Abba. To believe the Chutz Lord's all his life and he just buried Eretz Yisrael, that's a lower level of Mechilas Abba. In a day, Mekaltasa Lachamisa, Mekaltasa Mechai. So that's a fourth inyan of Eretz Yisrael. All of Eretz Yisrael has a lower level of Kedushas HaMikdash. Just like in the Beis HaMikdash, you bring Kapara, so you get Kapara. So the Gemara has a Loshim, Kalakova, Eretz Yisrael, Kilakova, Tachas HaMizbeah. Because all of Eretz Yisrael has a lower level of Kedushas HaMikdash. So it's Mechaper, if you're buried or if you live there in Eretz Yisrael. Then the fifth inyan of Eretz Yisrael, there is a mitzvah to establish a Medina. That's what I spoke about this morning. Many misunderstood and thought that this was a machlokes between the Megillas Esther. There's the one who started this whole mistake. So that the nation, the whole thing is a mistake. So the Megillas Esther presented as if this was a machlokes. The Rambam, in the Ramban, is there a mitzvah to establish a Medina or not? It's not true. The Rambam counts the mitzvah. Muhammad Lamelech, to establish a Jewish government over all of Eretz Yisrael. The machlokes, the Rambam and the Ramban, whether you living in Eretz Yisrael, Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, does that count it as a mitzvah or not? And a whole discussion why the Rambam didn't count it. So we mentioned earlier that the Knesset HaGedolah says the reason why the Rambam didn't count the mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael because he holds it only with the Rabbanim. And the Ruba of the Achareinim say that's impossible. The whole Chumash sounds like he's supposed to live in Eretz Yisrael. How can you go against the whole Chumash? Of course it's a din d'oraisa. The reason why the Rambam didn't count it is because it's included in some other mitzvah, or go sidbar, or whatever. It enhances every mitzvah. Rabban HaChumash says, any mitzvah that you do in Eretz Yisrael enhances the chashivas of the mitzvah. So it's like a prat in every mitzvah. Whatever it is, but the Rambam did count it. The Rambam and the Ramban, everybody agrees that there's a mitzvah to establish a Jewish government in all of Eretz Yisrael. And Al Pi Din, Yerushalayim is officially the capital of Eretz Yisrael, whether the American Congress agrees or does not agree. It's the model of the merit. Al Pi Din, when we daven on Friday night, we say Mikdash Melech and Melucha. Yerushalayim is both Mikdash Melech and Melucha. Al Pi Din is the capital of Eretz Yisrael. And also it's the Mokam of the Beis HaMikdash, as Kedusha HaMikdash. There's some dinim. The Gemara in the last daf in Perek Merubim, but we come and list off Asar dinim, Nemru of Yerushalayim, the 10 different dinims. And some of the dinim in Yerushalayim, that because Yerushalayim has a has Kedusha HaMikdash, a lower level of Kedusha HaMikdash, some of the dinim are because Yerushalayim is officially the capital of Eretz Yisrael, the different dinim. That's another in that Eretz Yisrael, we have a mitzvah to establish a Medina. And Eretz Yisrael, and everybody agrees to that. And then the sixth inyan of Eretz Yisrael is, we spoke about it earlier, that Al Pi Din Eretz Yisrael is in the mitzaref of Klal Yisrael. Only the Jews who live in Eretz Yisrael constitute the tzibur. Jews who live in Chutz La'aretz are considered kiyichidim dam. So the Rambam has this when they get to smicha. The Rambam says you can only confer smicha in Eretz Yisrael. But the Rambam interpreted the Gemara in the first paragraph, the beginning of Sanhedrin. You can confer smicha. The Gemara says in the beginning of Kulin, and now the Gemara says, "Harbi krachim kovshon the mitzrayim v'lo kovshon ali bavo." There are areas in Eretz Yisrael where the oil of mitzrayim were mekadoshed, and after the 7 years of Golas Bavel, when Ezra came back, he left it out. He made a conscious decision to leave out sections of Eretz Yisrael not to be mekadoshed because it was going to be too difficult to observe Shemitah. It's going to be too difficult. So those areas that were never niskadosh b'kedusha shniyah, so you're not chayiv mitzvah sapuyas ba'aretz. So they treat it like chutz la'aretz and you can't give smicha there. So the Rambam says, no, whatever had a kedusha rishayna, even though now the kedusha rishayna was batla, you can still give smicha. Why? But it's not part of Eretz Yisrael. So the answer is, it doesn't have kedusha sa'aretz, because kedusha rishayna was batla. It doesn't have kedusha sa'aretz, but it's still part of Eretz Yisrael. So that's the mitzaref of Klal Yisrael, all the Jews who live in Eretz Yisrael. And the din that you can't give smicha b'chutz la'aretz, not because of the Kedusha sa'aretz. It's not to do with the Kedusha. It's like the Rambam explains in the Kirish HaMishnayis, we mentioned earlier, in Chorus, about Chavtes, that the individual who gives smicha is giving it as representing all of Klal Yisrael. So the tziruf of Klal Yisrael is only in Eretz Yisrael. The people who live in Chutz La'aretz are all considered kiyachidus. In Shulchan Aruch, in Hilchos Aseres Mei Tshuva, the Rama quotes that if a person is a Rabban, he deserves to be put in Cherem, Anidui, so you shouldn't put him in Cherem and Aseres and Meitshuvah. It's too serious a time. So the Achrayim there quote additional days scattered about throughout the year, and you should avoid serious days like Yom and Aram, when one should avoid putting teeth on the Cherem. So they quote from Sfarim that were written a few centuries ago, way before anybody was even dreaming of Dag HaKamos HaMedina. They give a list of dates. No one knows what in the world they correspond to. So on the list of the dates, they have A-Ear. It does not have Vav-Ear, and it does not have Chav-Ches-Ear. It just has A-Ear. Apparently, A-Ear was singled out by the Mekubalim as a date. Where they get it from, we don't know. It was singled out as a date that's going to be one of the Yom HaNarayim. There's a lot more to discuss. We just spoke the kids today. Everything was the kids in the mix, okay? Shall observe the day with seriousness. The serious day. Come Samdina. These are big mitzvahs. Big mitzvahs. There's more learning now than there ever was before. Very good.
Rabbi Sefer says, Hey, as a day to not come here. Where can we find our uncle?
I have at home, you have in the library, there's a Sefer Orchas Chaim there by the Rishon, then the Orchas Chaim Sepinka. It means it was printed in the city Sepinka by the rabbi of Sepinka. So you have, on Orchas Chaim, we don't have the Pischi Tshuva, you have the Shari Tshuva. Shari Tshuva next to the Be'eta was written by Rabbi Chaim Zalman Margolis and his brother. So they lived before the Chsam Sefer, before, so they don't, they only quote earlier Achreinim, they don't quote so many. So, and sometimes it has a gematria, Rashi Tevis, a Pshepel. It's not at all as strong as the Pischi Tshuva and Yerodeich, Hashem Mishpat Eben Ezer. So this is Sefer Orchas Chaim from the Sepinka Rabbi, on Arachaim, practically on every single Sif. We quote a Likut of all the Achrayim. So on that Ramah, Milchas Aseres Mei Tshuva, he quotes from earlier Svarim, a whole list of dates. So one of the dates on that list is in Hei Ir. Okay? Chag Sameach to everyone.